If you think of all the things that you and I can do in our marriages to, you know, to make our marriage strong, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What one thing could you do over the next 30 days that would strengthen your relationship, strengthen your marriage, create less stress in your marriage, and help you move forward? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, and that's what we're going to talk about today on the program from our Intentional Living archives. The calls are set for the program, but listen, we want you to participate live by leaving your comments on our comment line today. And the way you can do that is call 888-888-1717. And the question I'm asking is, what one thing, what one love habit could you do in your marriage that would strengthen your relationship? You know, if you're new to intentional living, what we've seen over the years is people's lives being radically changed, radically improved, marriages saved, homes strengthened as a result of people choosing to live an intentional life in Christ. It's not about perfection. It's simply about understanding that every day, if I do one thing to make sure I'm building into, in this case, my marriage, to make my marriage work better, you're going to turn out a lot better down the road for sure. So give us a call on our comment line, 888-888-1717. As we go to the calls, Mary left a comment from California on this very topic. Take a listen.
This is Mary in California. And I just want to give some things that I learned, and I really believe it was the Holy Spirit, that when I am not treating my husband with respect, I am not respecting God. When I'm not putting him first, I realize that I'm really not putting God first. And so I keep that in mind, and it really helps me through the day to treat him with respect and listen to what he has to say, because it's so easy for us to want to be right and want our way. And that's the one thing I've learned. And selfishness is a real hard thing to get rid of, but that's what I've been working on intentionally.
Hey, listen, and when you do that, it will change your marriage. One of the things I love about the research that John Gottman has done on marriage is it's based on actually observing thousands of couples, videotaping many of them, analyzing how they interact, because how we interact determines the success of the marriage. And one of the things he says is that successful marriages have learned how to soften their startups. In other words, arguments often start up because one partner, there's an escalation that begins. There's a conflict, there's something that's said, and then the other person raises it a little bit and says something even a little more critical or something that's really destructive in the marriage, and it goes to another level. When we learn to bring up problems gently in a marriage without blame or without pointing a finger, because remember, we judge ourselves by our intentions. And maybe your intention is okay. You're thinking, I just want to get this problem fixed. Your intention might be good, but your spouse will judge you by their expectations. And if the expectation is, if you love me, you wouldn't speak to me that way. There's where we escalate. And so when Gottman says, soften your startup, one of the things that can make your marriage, if you want to make it a habit, make your marriage work better, is be careful how you start discussions that could lead to, you know, more difficult kinds of discussions. Be kind, all right? Just a thought. I'll tell you, make a difference. Not only in marriage, by the way, it happens with your kids, teenagers, work, employees, coworkers. These principles are the same. All right, let's get to Janine is on the line in Michigan. Janine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. What's your comment today?
It related to your point number 7 that talked about kindness, and I just felt very understood and heard by my husband in a conversation that we had yesterday. Mm. And it was a conversation where I kind of started with, I know this is a little thing and it doesn't matter to you. And he stopped me and said, if it matters to you, it matters to me.
Wow.
And it just touched my heart. And so I just loved that and felt that I should share that. But I was also hearing you just talk about the importance of startups.
Yes.
And another thing that we have done through the years is when we're going to have a conversation that you don't necessarily know where that's going to lead, we always try to start with I love you and pray together so that we set a tone that lets each of us know that we have the good of our marriage at the heart of that conversation.
Very important.
So it just seemed to tie really closely to that.
Did you share how many years you've been married?
15.
15 years.
not enough.
Well, listen, you keep doing what you're doing. You guys do that. You got many more years ahead. If God tarries and your health, you know, you can live through the years ahead. But that's how 50-year marriages last. Learning to do the next right one thing and being intentional with the habits that we have in the relationship. Powerful.
Thank you.
All right.
And thank you for all you do.
Glad to do it. Thank you for your call, Janine.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right. That's how you go from 15 to 25 years and beyond. Listen, I've got the top 10 list on love and respect. We've got more from Dr. John Gottman. We're going to get to all of these here in just a few moments, along with some other calls. Doug's on the line. We'll find out what his one thing is in Arizona coming up in a minute.
Serve others today. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. During these uncertain times, can I encourage each of us to fight the tendency to pull inward? That's a lonely place. Fear increases. Perspective is lost. Health is affected. Instead, can I encourage you and myself to look outward? There are needs all around you, all around me today. Do something. Help someone. Care for someone. And when you do this, it will glorify God and it will bring benefit to yourself. When I think about what's going on in the world today, we don't have to always be involved with something going on over the ocean. We can be involved with something going on over the backyard fence. And when we do, that is intentional living.
For the rest of the month, go to theintentionallife.com to get Dr. Randy's book, Starved for Affection.
Imagine getting away to get close to God's creation on the 7-day Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. You'll experience what feels like a moving picture postcard. As you cruise through the Inside Passage, you'll see the magnificent Hubbard Glacier, waterfalls, rainforests, and unique wildlife. You'll also enjoy world-class food and cruise accommodations. It's an unforgettable experience you'll treasure for a lifetime.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to join me and my wife, Donna, for the 2022 Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. You'll be strengthened during times of worship, and you'll discover the power of intentional living in Christ that can bring hope, peace, and joy to your life. I can't wait to see you there.
The Intentional Living Alaska Cruise with Dr. Randy Carlson sails June 12th through the 19th, 2022. Sign up today to get the cabin of your choice. Go to theintentionallife.com.
You know, not only myself, I'm looking forward to being able to be with you all, my wife Don and I, and teaching some and sharing together and having dinner together and times of worship. But we've invited Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver, to lead us in worship during the week. He's going to be putting on a concert. He and his wife will be teaching one of the sessions. Evan Carlson, ministry president, and his wife Kelly, scheduled to be with us. He'll be doing some teaching as well. We're just going to have a great week. At sea, we get together in a room where we're going to have just our group to be able to spend time in worship and praise, and then mostly, though, just for you and those you bring, your family, your spouse, to enjoy the beauties of Alaska and the beauties of the Inside Passage and all of the places that we'll be stopping on the tour. June 12 through 19, breathing some fresh new air by then. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun week, a week of learning and growing together, and we'd love to have you be a part of it, be a part of this community as we tour together. Again, you can reserve your cabin today. Today's the day to do it. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All the information is there for you, so you can reserve your cabin today. Again, go to theintentionallife.com to be a part of the Intentional Living Alaska Cruise.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Talking marriage, one thing for marriage today. Doug is in Arizona. Doug, what's your one thing, my friend?
You know, every morning, me and my wife, we do what they call daily devotional reading. And we kind of quiz each other and tease each other on it every day. And I'm pretty sure that she relies on I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, especially when she's married to me and dealing with me every day. And it's like, you know, we've been together for 29 years, and I hear people saying, oh, it's tough, it's this and that, and it's like, I really don't see the fighting and the battle when it comes to me and my wife. And it's like, you know, the best secret is don't get to know her right away. She doesn't know me right away, and we're always evolving and changing for the better, if you will.
So when you have a problem, when you have a disagreement, Doug, how do you guys work it out?
You know, we rely on common sense. It's not I win, she wins, although we do teach each other that way. But usually it's common sense is what wins. And that's the way it is. You know, you pray about it, and you look at it, and you think about it, and it's what's commonsensical, and that's what wins.
Now, I heard you say twice with teasing each other. Is that sort of a part of your relationship? You kind of keep it light so you don't get too deep?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, laughter is good for the soul, you know. And I promised in my wedding vows to keep her laughing at least 3 times a week. And I have not yet failed.
Interesting. Well, yeah. You know, it says in the scripture that laughter doeth good like a medicine. And I agree with you totally. Life is serious. We got, you know, there's health issues and kids and finance. And it's very easy to slip into the business side of relationships, all the stuff you got to manage and organize. And if we don't rise above it and keep some laughter, freshness, spontaneity in a marriage, after a while it can become routine, and routine can kill a relationship.
Right. Yeah. Try to spice it up if you can, you know?
Yeah, that's important. Now are you kind of the one that is the spontaneous one in the marriage, or is she as well?
I'm the spontaneous one in the marriage. I'm the one that's always looking for the little devious ways of keeping laughter coming around. But she does it in a quiet way. You know, she's the one that does it. You don't find out till way later that you've been hit. You know? Yeah. So that's kind of good. Like today.
Yeah.
I was using the car, and I was coming down. I was coming down Almasco and Main Street, and I ran out of gas. Just a few, maybe 60 or 70 yards away from Circle K. It wasn't much, but it was a dangerous little intersection, you know. But what was good about it is that everybody was cool, calm, and collective, and, you know, and I pushed the car into the Circle K and got gas, you know. When I came home, we kind of giggled about it, and she said, I'm so sorry, you know. But it's no great big deal, you know. I mean, well, you know, that's how life is, you know. You got to just accept it, you know.
You're my guy, Doug. Listen, there are people who say, run out of gas 60 yards from Circle K, it ruined my whole day.
Yeah.
You let it go.
I'm not ragger about it. You know, we laugh about it, and then just let it go. You know, that's what you got to do, just let it go.
Well, you also got to keep gas in the car, though, Doug.
Yeah, I do, but she doesn't.
Oh, that was the real story, huh?
Yeah.
She didn't have gas in the car.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, listen, now there have been some guys that have gone home and really gotten on her case for that. And you can do that in a way of just sharing, have a little fun and keep it light and make sure she's got money in the pocket so she can get gas in the car. So, or you have to fill it for her, right? You should be filling it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give her the receipt. Reimbursement is the next battle.
Yeah. Okay, my friend. Thanks for your call, Doug.
All right. God bless you. Right.
Yeah, he is. And you made my day. Hey, listen, we're more like Doug and his wife. I think we'd be better off. Come on, guys. We get so serious, and it can become so overwhelming in our relationships. It can drag us down. I wrote some things about thinking about some of the truths about the power of attitude in marriage. And I said, a good attitude will help your marriage succeed. Many times marriages fail not because of a lack of love, but because spouses don't have a good attitude. We wear each other down with negativity. Why didn't you put gas in the car? I mean, come on, you know, those kinds of things. And if they continue in a relationship, can wear us down. Your attitude has a huge impact on your life. Unsuccessful people seem to find something wrong even in good times, while successful people strive for an attitude of gratitude even in the bad times. Find something good. Speak encouragement into your life. Discouraged people discourage other people, and they discourage marriage. They really do. Okay, we'll come back. I got some more thoughts here from Dr. Gottman, his seven things to improve your marriage. I'll get to another one or two here in a moment. But let's go to Pauline in Arizona. Pauline, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment today?
Oh, my comment is about, let's say, in my marriage, there's a lot of, like, in the marriage, there's a lot of things which you can solve. There's some things which you can just let it go. But, yeah. You know, like, mine, the way I can really want to change. Sorry for my English. I'm from the Congo, so.
Well, I'm glad you called. You're doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in my marriage, the thing I can change, I can really, really working hard on changing is like when we're passing through troubles, instead of talking about it, my partner doesn't talk about it. It'll be just quiet until, you know, we'll figure it out. And after that, it's gone. But aside of mine, you'd be like, I'm kind of mad. I can stay a week, 2 weeks. We're not talking to each other. So sometimes it hurts me. Sometimes I'm like, okay, that's how it is. Let's just let it be. We've been married for 10 years and it's been going on just like that. So
let me see if I understand, yeah. Pauline. There might be something that's bugging you, that's troubling you, that you want to talk about. Yeah. And he doesn't talk about it, kind of buries it.
Yes.
And he moves on, but you still linger with being upset. Are you upset that he's not talking to you about it, or are you upset that the problem didn't get fixed, or both?
Both.
Yeah. So this not only the problem doesn't get fixed, but we didn't even talk about the problem.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And why do you think he doesn't want to talk about it?
I don't know. He's just a person. He's kind of himself. He doesn't like talking, anything like that. But when you guys are growing up together, you should know each other. Okay, this one likes this. This one, she doesn't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should change the way we're living, or maybe we should stop this and change it and start a new thing. But if your partner doesn't want to talk about it, doesn't want to give you ideas, no, let's do this, let's do that. In terms of you just keeping quiet, you're building something in your heart which is one day is going to explode, you see?
Yeah, these are like important things to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to him about that and shared that these are important things that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I'm the only person who talks too much in the house, so.
Yeah, so he thinks you talk too much?
Yeah, he thinks I talk too much, so that's the thing.
Yeah, well, you're the type of person then, Pauline, that you want to talk about things, you want to discuss things. I'm wondering in his mind, because he sounds like maybe he's he's quieter, if he's concerned if he starts talking about things, they'll never end.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the best the thing I can wish, like, God to help me. That's the thing I've been praying all the time, God to help me, like, figure out or jump into another step for person to change.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because...
Can I give you a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Just a suggestion. this is not uncommon. You get two people in a relationship in marriage, and one is, you know, let's talk, let's resolve, let's get to the bottom of it, you know, and really that's important. The other person, they're more thinking, more philosophical, processing things differently, and they feel overwhelmed in those kinds of settings. A compromise might be to say, you know, honey, I love you, but there are times we need to talk about some things. We've got some issues that are important, and I know that I can be overwhelming, and I know I can bring a lot of things to the table. I can bring 10 things to an agenda, to a discussion. Could we have one thing, just one topic, and could we spend maybe 3 nights a week just for a half hour, and we'll schedule it like 7 to 7:30, or right after the kids go to bed, just for that period of time. We won't start before, we won't go later, just for those 30 minutes, and here's just one topic. And you put it on the refrigerator, You kind of say, hey, tonight we just want to talk about, should we be staying in this house? I think you brought up something about living or moving or whatever. What would be the pros and cons of us staying here or moving? Let's just talk about it for a half hour. Just pray about it. And at the end of, you know, we start at 7. By 7:30, we'll wrap it up. Then I would encourage you, Pauline, when you get there, not to dominate the discussion, just to throw out the question. Have a question that you want to discuss and just listen. You might have to sit there quietly for a while. Maybe nothing's being said. There's power in silence. You know, you throw out the question, mention it, talk a little bit, and just see what happens. Does that sound like something that you could try with your husband?
I would try it. I've been trying all these days. I've been really trying really hard.
All right. Well, if you put it into a time schedule, maybe that'll be helpful. All right. We'll be praying for you, Pauline. I'm glad you're listening, and you came through loud and clear. We're talking about marriage today. Got a few more thoughts for you before we wrap up the show here in just a couple minutes. Psalm 119. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's two things going on in this verse. First of all, the word lamp in Hebrew means a dim light. We have just enough light for the next moment. It's kind of like the running lights in your car, but it's also a light to my path. Kind of like putting the high beams on in your car, and you can see a warning sign or a light way down the road. And I think to a certain degree, what the writer of Psalms is saying is, it's not only for your feet, but it's also for your path. The word is here not only for today, but for tomorrow. And that's a powerful truth.
You know, intentional living is about a community of believers, people who are followers of Christ. And we believe that life is short enough that we want to live daily in a way that will honor God, bring glory to Him, and certainly benefit to ourselves to be intentional in the midst of an unintentional world. And one of the ways that we do this to encourage our community of supporters is to bring helpful teaching, encouragement in other ways to our community of supporters that make sure that intentional living can continue. And you just heard an excerpt from the teaching, The Miles and Moments of Life. And I'll tell you what, we're going to get that to you as you join in support of the ministry today, the entire teaching, every month, a brand new teaching coming up next month. It's going to be on how an intentional life can save your life. That's a pretty hyperbolic kind of a statement, but I believe it. And you'll hear that in the lesson coming up next month. So every month, a brand new teaching. And right now, our best-selling book from Intentional Living, Starved for Affection. It's a book on marriage that I wrote to encourage couples on the power of love and affection in marriage. We're sending out to those who are joining in financial support, being a part of the monthly support family of Intentional Living. And the amount is up to you. We just challenge you to pray about $1 a day, $30 a month or more. We'd appreciate it. It's going to help us be able to make sure that the program can continue and we can get this message of intentionality in Christ out around the world now more than ever. So again, come and join us today. We want to get the book to you and the teaching online. It'll come to you audio and video. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All right, back to the comments coming in today. Let's go to Chuck in Michigan.
Hi. Yes, I'm a man of experience now because I'm turning 80. But going back years ago when my wife was on this earth, we knew that we had to compromise. So once we worked that out and we're doing our share or a little more and not arguing about what the other person was maybe falling short at, our marriage improved. And we went to church every Sunday, got on our knees together every night, and we prayed together.
Thank you, Chuck. We're going to hear from Brenda. Right after Brenda, I'm going to share with you a couple more of the points from John Gottman on the top 7 ways to improve your marriage based on just years of research. These are very practical. Get to those in just a moment. But first, let's go to Brenda with a comment she left from Tennessee.
My intentional living is to exhort my husband and to tell him how much I love him and how much I thank him for working and taking care of us. I exhort him daily, and even when I don't feel like it, not only exhort my husband, but to show him physically, with physical touch, that I love him and that I'm not afraid to be seen with him, by running my hands through his hair, touching him on the cheek at church. Just that touch. There's so much in that touch. That's what every person desires, is to just feel loved and to know they're loved. And so that's just part of my intentional living, is that physical touch for my husband.
Mm. Thank you. That's powerful. I mentioned John Gottman. By the way, he's written many books, and he's a go-to kind of a guy when you're looking for tips on marriage. And he wrote these top seven ways to improve your marriage. Let me give you two from the list. He says, learn to repair and exit the argument. Happy couples have learned how to exit an argument and how to repair the situation before an argument gets completely out of control. And one of the things he says is using humor. Do you remember just a couple minutes ago, we talked with a gentleman who uses a lot of humor in their marriage? Humor is a powerful thing. Offering caring remarks. I understand this is hard for you. I know it's difficult for you. Learning to be kind and soft in terms of your communication. If we can learn and apply the repair and exit strategies from arguments in your marriage, you'll be better off. Another one, he says, on his top seven list, is focus on the positive. In happy marriages, while discussing problems, couples make at least five times as many positive statements to and about each other and their relationship as negative ones. Did you get that? Five times as many positive as negative. Think about your communication with your spouse over the last 24 hours. Is it five times as many positive comments as negative comments? Good marriages have a rich climate, Gottman says, of positivity, making regular deposits to emotional bank accounts in marriage. Boy, there's so much more, but I hope we gave you some things today that'll be practical for you. You're welcome to share your comments with us, your one thing for your marriage, on our comment line. Just give us a call, 888-888-1717. If you missed any part of today's program, or want to hear it again on demand, just go to theintentionallife.com, or you can go wherever you find your podcast. We're there, and we hope you'll enjoy the show we put together every day for you. And again, thanks to those of you who are supporting the ministry. Thank you for your prayers and your support. See you next time from Intentional Living.